Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again. We received some bad news earlier in the week. You know, just different ones coming down with the virus, and we certainly want to unite together in prayer. And so continue to keep our brother Donnie Reagan in prayer. He was tested positive. His wife tested negative. His daughter, has the tumor that they want to do a biopsy on. They have to test her first because she's been around her parents, and then do the procedure, whatever it is that they have to do. So just keep the Reagan family in prayer, if you would. And then some good news. Our brother Ron Spencer went in for some scans. They scanned his brain, his lungs, his kidneys and liver, and just, you know, they're looking for any place that cancer might try to lurk or hide, and they haven't found anything new. So they're praise the Lord for that. So he's been on some kind of immunotherapy and chemo, I believe, and so they're cutting back on that, and they want to see him in another month. But the doctors are very encouraged, and so are we. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to just continue on a thought that we started bringing on Wednesday night, and as we said last Wednesday night, we know it's may sound a little elementary, but sometimes we need to just, first of all, there are people coming in all the time and people growing up. And there's a certain time for when you need to hear the word, a particular word. And and then secondly, the Lord put it on my heart. And so that's good enough right there. Amen. Amen. Divorce from sin. Part 2. Genesis, the third chapter, we'll read the 15th verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'd like to also read from the message, I am the resurrection and the life. We know this, that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It only covered sin and the living just waiting in paradise for the day that sin would be taken away or should be taken away. But when Jesus came, the Son of God, the Messiah, he took away sin. He divorced it, never covered it. He took it away. Hallelujah. Then now, since then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting in glory. We go straight to the presence of the Father, there to be clothed in immortality. Oh, if this earthly tabernacle, if it should be taken away this afternoon, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, sinners by nature, then God has redeemed us and redeemed our soul and has a blessed body waiting for us that'll never be sick, even above temptation, a body like his own glorious body, then we shall see him as he is. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we want to bring these requests once again before you. And Lord, we ask that you would raise up the Reagan family, that, Lord, that your angels would encamp about them. And we know that the enemy has every right to come and bring a punch, but we also have every right to chase them off of our ground and to claim our healing. And we know that it's a battle, and it's what we've been told is faith's battle. And we know, Lord, that you heal us. We can get sick again. You heal us. And And so, Lord, as long as we're in these bodies, we know that the enemy's got a punch coming. But, Lord, we bind together in times like these. And, Lord, we lift our prayers together in unison. And, Lord, just asking for complete healing. And then, Lord, for our brother Ron Spencer, we thank you for the work that you're doing in his life. And, Lord, it just you're a supernatural God. And there is none like you. Amen. You're so merciful, so full of grace. And, Lord, we so appreciate all that you've done, all that you're doing. And thank you for undertaking for our dear brother. Now, Lord, we're looking for his complete healing. And we know that there's nothing that's too hard for you. Lord, you're just waiting to move upon the confession of our faith. And Lord, we confess you as our healer. Lord, as we have read from the word tonight, we could close the book. We've sang songs. We can say it was good to be here. We feel your presence. We know that you're amongst us. And Lord, that you've already been dealing with hearts as the service has been going on. But now we've come to the main part of the service. And Lord, we have needs, and we know that your word has everything that we have need of. And so, Lord, we're asking that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd minister the portion of the word that we have need of, whether we recognize what our need is or not, you do. And then, Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Got that funny ringing stuff going on again, huh? Is it these mics up here by any chance? I'm just throwing things out there. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Oh, it's just hallelujah. Anyhow. So last Wednesday we looked at the purpose for the second birth and the need for the second birth, and that we saw that by the second birth we're divorced from sin nature and from the resulting sin. And we saw how the scripture tells us that we are all born of a sin nature. By our first birth, we didn't get a choice. We were married to that sin nature when we came to the earth. We were shapen in iniquity, and we were all liars from the get-go. You know, exaggerating is lying. Making a story sound a little bit better than it is lying. There's shades of lying. But we're either speaking the truth or we're telling a lie. And by nature, we were liars. So we saw how the scripture tells us that we were all born by sin nature, by our first birth. And yet Adam was given instruction while he was yet in spirit form, in the image of his father. The instruction which was given was, actually it was a commandment, to fill the earth with more sons of God and daughters of God, and to have dominion over the earth. Now, he was already a caretaker over a portion of the earth that the Lord had established, which we know as Eden, and then there was a special place in Eden called the Garden of Eden, and his job was to keep it that way. He didn't have to make Eden come forth. He didn't have to till and plow and find the right chemicals and this and that, but his job was to keep it the way that God had established it. And we realize that Adam and Eve, they never got that far, because Eve, instead of eventually listening to the tree of life, she was pulled away when she listened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve brought forth sons that were in the image of fallen man, both of them were, instead of bringing forth sons in the image of God. Jesus deals with this issue when bringing his first doctrinal teaching, and he says, you must be born a second time in order to enter into this kingdom that I am ushering in. And we saw how the children of Israel, through Abraham, how they foreshadowed the family of God that was to come forth on the earth. And these people were separated unto God. And they were actually the approach to God for the other people that were on the earth. They were special. God blessed these people. And they alone were permitted to come into his tabernacle to worship him and to bring their sacrifice unto him for the covering of their sins. He made a covenant with them. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And he was foreshadowing the promised family of God that would come after Calvary was completed. So we saw that Abraham was given a sign of circumcision to show that not only was Abraham in this covenant, but the seed that would pass through him was also claimed under this covenant. That cutting away of the flesh was a token. It was a sign, and it was also a symbol. It was a token given that would hold back eternal death as it passed by. A sign that Abraham was under the covenant and that the Lord himself was going to keep this covenant. And it foreshadowed the token of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that every born-again believer of the New Testament would receive as a sign that the sin nature, the stony heart, had been cut away, had been divorced. Those born of God would be under a covenant with the Father, and they had a token that showed that they were of the new race, which Jesus was the beginning of the creation of. And they are the continuation of the creation of. So we saw that Adam and Eve, while yet in spirit form, in the image of God, they were given a command to fill the earth, to stock the earth, replenish the earth. And when that was accomplished, they were to take dominion over all the earth. So this was God's will. This is God's perfect will. So if this is God's will, his will be done. So instead of filling the earth with sons of God in the image of God, they brought forth sons in the image of fallen man, sons with a fallen sin nature. And instead of sons of God taking dominion over the earth and by the Spirit, we find fallen sons that are dominating the earth through fleshly sin nature. So man fell, but where he fell from was his was heavenly places, his position in the heavens, in the spirit realm. He was to lead from the spirit realm. He was to be the predominant species from the spirit realm. But he fell to the physical realm. Now, he's still the predominant species in the natural realm, but that's just a shadow of what he was supposed to be, what God created him to be. So he was supposed to be the take dominion over the earth, but the sin nature prevented him from doing that. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. Amen. Aren't you glad? Now, Satan, I used to wonder about this when I was in the denominations growing up. I never understood it. It puzzled me how Satan could alter God's plan, how Satan could change God's plan, how Satan could cause this big mistake to take place. And God didn't see that coming or whatever. I didn't think that thought too loudly, but it just, it was just something that didn't set well with me. But we know that God certainly knew that this was coming. We know that God's will be done. And we know that Satan has never gotten over God. We know that God allowed this opportunity, this opening, but he had a plan that was going to be fulfilled because of this. It's through the fall that we learn the character and the nature of God, and that redemption can be fulfilled, and this great story of redemption could be lived out. So Satan did not alter God's plan or purpose one little bit, not even a tiny bit. Sons were supposed to come forth in the image of God. Their names were on a book, the Lamb's Book of Life that was written before the foundation of the world in God's thinking. They were to have dominion over the earth, and Calvary made a way for that to actually take place. First, all sons are to come forth by the second birth. And then once that's accomplished, so that's the multiplying portion of it. Once that's accomplished, then a millennium sets in whereby these very same sons take full dominion on the earth. And they rule and reign for 1,000 years, showing that the sin question has been dealt with, showing that there's been a full restoration, showing the power of this blood, showing that Satan didn't get over God at all. And Satan's going to have to sit there and watch this thing be played out before him, he and his angels. So Jesus told the seed of Abraham to enter into this kingdom. And he said, to enter in, you must be born again of the spiritual seed of Abraham, because being born of natural seed will not work this time. And it's amazing, you know, I could see how they would have a problem with it. They, you know, it was literally hundreds and hundreds of years that they were counting on their descendancy, their genealogy. They could trace through their tribes, they could trace their lineage, and, you know, they were Israelites, they were Jews, and they were trusting in the Lord that they were the chosen people, that they were the seed of Abraham. And now all of a sudden, that natural birth doesn't count any longer. Now it's another birth that's being introduced. And of course, this was a radical concept at the time. I mean, show me in the Old Testament where it says explicitly that you're going to have to be born again of the Spirit of God after Jesus Christ comes to the earth. Now, we know that it's laying there, and we can see it now. Hindsight's 20/20, because you know, it's been revealed to us now. But if you were looking forward to that day, you know, the second birth was, that's a new concept. That's a radical concept. So this radical concept to these descendants of Abraham caused them to struggle with this concept of a second birth, just as they do today. But Jesus clearly told them, flesh and blood cannot inherit this kingdom. You must be a new creature. And old things have to pass away. All things become new. And we looked at this from another direction on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we looked at how, you know, you're not responsible for something that took place before you were born. Your second birth is truly you coming to life. That gene that's down on the inside of you, you coming to life. And you're not a sinner. You're a believer. You're a son or daughter of God. And what took place before you were born spiritually doesn't count. Oh, sure, there's consequences in this life, but God doesn't remember it. You didn't do it. So you must die to that sin nature, and you must be born again of a new spirit and a new nature. You must be part of the new creation. You must be divorced from your first husband that you were married to when you came to this world. This husband ruled over you. It was your sinful first birth, the nature of sin that was in you at your first birth. It was a birth that was permitted by God, but it wasn't his perfect will for you. It was making way for his perfect will for you, though. So God permitted the first birth, but then he made a way himself for you to come forth in a second birth, which is his perfect will for you. And when you're born a second time, you're partaking of the tree of life. So we see here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the earliest of all prophecy concerning the promised seed that would come. The Lord God told this fallen couple that another seed would come, and this seed that would come, this being that would come, this son that would come, would mortally wound this serpent nature by wounding him in his head. And the headship that he gained in human flesh through the perverted reproduction of man would be crushed when this seed came forth in flesh, made from the very same earth that you and I are made from. So the headship of Satan in man would be destroyed. Well, okay, shall we go to Denny's? Oh, friends. Satan has had a hold since the Garden of Eden. But Jesus came to destroy Satan and his works. But in the process of him bruising the head of the serpent, in the process of him bruising the head of Satan, the heel that crushed the head would also be bruised. The heel would be bruised by partaking of death. It's the irony of ironies. He would partake of death. So the snake bite bit him as he's stomping on the head of the serpent. He gets bit in the heel. Death sets in. But death is defeated in human flesh through death. And it was defeated because he was a worthy sacrifice. He was worthy to take away the sin. He was worthy to conquer death. By paying that price, the price was paid once and for all. Through one, all fell. Through one, all have the opportunity to be saved. So we know that this was accomplished when God came down himself and wrapped himself in a blood cell and placed himself in a seed form in the womb of a virgin. And this promised seed truly delivered the mortal wound to the serpent nature in the flesh, but was bruised in the heel in the process. And this defeated enemy is being bruised in the head in flesh every time the seed of the continuation of the God race is quickened by the Holy Spirit in the flesh. The body of Christ on the earth contains the feet, and those feet are serpent bruisers. Those feet are serpent conquerors. They are bruising the headship of sin, that sin nature that's in the flesh. Conquering that sin nature. Now, don't misunderstand here this evening. Satan's head was bruised by the promised seed at Calvary 2,000 years ago. He is a defeated enemy. We don't have to defeat him. He's already defeated. But the work of Calvary has to be enforced. And it is enforced in the flesh of every born-again son or daughter of God, birthed by the new birth, birthed the second time by the Holy Spirit of their Maker. Just as the children of Israel were given an inheritance as children of the covenant of Abraham, as the seed of Abraham, so are the children of God who are the royal seed of Abraham. We are given a covenant. And the sons of God, they take possession of that inheritance by the second birth. I'm not waiting for an inheritance. I'm taking possession right now of an inheritance that was given to me by the second birth. And through that, that allows us to bruise that sin nature that's in the flesh. If we're not born again, that sin nature will just lie there. And it'll continue to rule. So, you know, as we said on Sunday, all of us are married. It's just a matter of who we are married to. We came to this earth married to a sin nature. That sin nature, we die out to it. It's kicked out, divorced. You're born again of the Spirit. And then by choice, you're married to another one, to a holy nature. Hallelujah. So the tree of knowledge, it brought forth a perverted form of life. Brother Branham said it brought forth life, but it was a life of death. A life that would compromise on the word of God, which results in death. But a seed was promised to come that would bring forth everlasting life. That's what was lost in the garden. That's what they were barred from, was that tree of life. But this seed was going to bring that life back and the opportunity to partake of that life back to sons and daughters of God. This would be the tree of life, and this life would be birthed through a woman. And this life would come to bruise or to give mortal wound to the head of the serpent. And when the serpent is mortally wounded, that sin nature is divorced once and for all. Oh, friends, I'm so glad that it's settled once and for all. We don't have to keep going back and, you know, getting saved over and over again, or being told, well, you're lost and you can never be saved. You know, we decided that. We determined it. Once it's settled, it's settled. You know, even if you got discouraged, even if you got down in the molly grubs, even if you're pressed so hard and going through life's battles, and you lose loved ones, and you lose this, and you lose that, and you were to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go back to what I was. You can't. You're a new creature. It's settled. A butterfly can never be a caterpillar ever again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when that serpent is mortally wounded, that sin nature is divorced once and for all. It's put away, and sin is put away with it. And that sin is on his head. So every predestinated seed from Adam to John the Baptist, they were all waiting for this promised seed to come. They knew the prophecy that Moses spoke to them, that the Lord spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. They knew about this prophecy. They knew that there was a righteous one that was to come, that was going to pay the price. And so they were waiting for this promised seed to come, but this promised seed could not... Or the seed that was in them could not be fully manifested until this promised seed came. So in other words, if you're a son or daughter of God, that seed is laying in you, whether it's Old Testament or New. And it was laying in the hearts of Old Testament, in the soul of Old Testament saints. But they couldn't be quickened. And that nature of a son or daughter of God couldn't be fully manifested until the one came to pay the price for the sin and then also bring the life to quicken that seed. Hallelujah. So many of these characters that we read about in the Old Testament, many were mightily used of God. And yet none of them could fully manifest a born son or daughter of God until a means of quickening that life were to come through. There had to be a life to come that would quicken that predestinated seed. And there was no way to quicken it under the blood of bulls and goats. The life that was shed of the sacrificial animal, it was innocent, it was perfect, it was a type and it was a shadow, but that life wasn't the same kind of life. And so that life could not come back upon the believer and quicken that seed. So we see that many of the Old Testament prophets and characters in the Old Testament, we see that they were anointed of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament. We read where John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit while yet in the womb of his mother, at the mention of the name of Jesus. So he wasn't moving, and Elizabeth was a little bit concerned. But at the mention of the name of Jesus, first time that Mary had mentioned it to somebody else, at the very mention of it, he leapt in his mother's womb. And the scripture says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But friends, the Holy Spirit did not come down into his soul, because it couldn't. The sacrifice had not been offered yet. So the Holy Spirit, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit. God could not yet come and tabernacle in a man until the debt was paid. So men were anointed of his Spirit, the Spirit of life, but they were not yet the tabernacle of his being in their flesh. That's why there was a tabernacle in the wilderness. That's why there was a tabernacle in Jerusalem, because God had a dwelling place, but it wasn't yet in the hearts of men. That was God's desire. That was what God created man for. God was going to dwell in a compartment inside of man that God alone wanted to dwell in. But because of sin and the separation then God was not able to do that, and so he dwelt behind animal skins and different things, but it was all foreshadowing a time when he would tabernacle flesh once again. So the Spirit was anointing the first and the second court, if you will, but had not come in behind the veil. And yet we know that man was created originally to be the tabernacle of God in flesh. So man was made different from the animal kingdom. Our fleshly body is in the image of the earth. It's in the image of our domain. And yet we're different from the rest of creation. There's a chamber that's created in the soul. And first of all, there's a soul. And then there's a chamber in the soul. Animals don't have a soul. And that chamber has within it a choice. Man could make a conscious decision. Animal life is not made that way. Animals are two-part beings, but man is a three-part being. And so man was originally made in the image of God. God's not a man. He's not a flesh being. So that was not the image that man was created in originally. He was made in the image of God. God is a spirit. And God manifests himself in three manifestations: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And God made man in his image. And that man was one man with a body. And also with a human spirit or mind, and a soul that could choose to believe or to doubt. And as a result of the choice that was made by the first couple, death set in, sin set in, evil, blindness, sickness, cross eyes, entered into the entire human race. So man was given the choice to partake of the tree of life and walk in that life, or he could choose to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He was forbidden to do it, but he had a choice. He was not kept from doing it. He was just told not to do it. And he was told what the consequences would be if he did do it. And that tree is a mixed tree. It has good in it, and it has evil in it. And you can't get one without the other. You know, people bring up these things about vaccines. No, vaccines, you know, they were created to kill people, and it's, you know, mind control and trying to put a chip in you and all that. It comes off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it does good, and yes, there are side effects. Everything, your automobile. How many like your car? Well, assuming you just bought it. How many like your car? You haven't made a payment on it yet. Your car is good, and it can be evil. Everything that comes off the tree of life, you can't have one without the other. It's the mixed bag. So we saw in the Old Testament that great men of God predestinated seed that came on the earth. Men like Jeremiah, that God said, you were formed in your mother's womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet to a nation. There were men that came like Moses, and God spoke of Moses 400 years before his birth, saying, with a mighty hand, I'll deliver my people from bondage. All of these men were predestinated. There was a predestinated seed that was laying down on the inside of them. And they were known of God. But yet they could never come to full manifestation of life under the blood of bulls and goats. And so we see that when man was banished from the original model home community of Eden, God said to the serpent, he looked at him, he said, because of what you did, off with your legs. You're not going to walk upright any longer, and you're not going to have the benefit of arms and legs on your belly. You shall now crawl on your belly, and dust you shall eat from now on. This is dust, right? And And we hear God making pronouncements on the man, and we hear God making pronouncements on the serpent. We hear God cursing the earth. We hear what God says to the woman. And then we see Adam and Eve walking out of the garden as a defeated people, arms around each other, heads down. But God said, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to stay here either. I banished you from this garden, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move out too, and I'm going to come back as a seed. I'm going to be a seed that will come through a woman, a virgin, a 14-year-old girl. And that seed is going to bring a mortal wound to the head of the serpent. I took his legs off. I put him on his belly, leaving him the ability to eat dust. But I'm going to come in a seed. And when I come, I'm going to stomp on his head one day. I'm just going to mash it down. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That devil's not getting over on my people. I'm so glad that I found out one day, friends, that God is just. And that God has not lost a single one of his elect seed. Amen. And he's not going to let anything happen to his elect predestinated seed. Those that were in his thinking before the foundation of the world. His family, in other words. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians that this righteous judge will bring tribulation upon them that trouble you. He will take vengeance upon your adversary. He will utterly destroy your enemy. Friends, I'm pretty happy about that. I don't care for the devil too much. He sure gave me a hard time. He gave me a real hard time before I was born again, and he hasn't let up since. There's no love lost between us. But I also recognized, to a certain extent, I need him. Because he's a tool in God's hand. And what he's doing is bringing me to perfection. He's bringing me into situations to where the characteristics of God and his spirit are manifested in my life, because Satan's causing it to happen by the trials and the things that he brings into our lives. So we know that Adam and Eve were charged with bringing forth seed, but we also know that no man could come forth through natural birth by sexual desire and be born in the image of God. So that's, you know, it wasn't so from the beginning. The spoken word was the original seed. So they were not supposed to come. We were not supposed to come. God's perfect will was not for us to come through sexual desire. Every man born of a woman in this way was born with a fallen nature. Doesn't matter who you are. But another seed was promised. And when Jesus came forth of God through a woman, he was here for the express purpose of delivering a mortal wound to the head of the serpent. Now, we're not talking about literally a serpent that he's going to bruise the head of, but it's Lucifer. So Israel was looking for him to come as an earthly ruler. And they were looking for him to smite the heads of the earthly rulers, the Romans, and different ones. They expected an earthly kingdom to be established, to be set up, where an earthly enemy would be struck down. And they had plenty of Bible stories to cause them to think that was going to be the case. But they were overlooking man's real enemy. Man's enemy is not another man. The natural seed of Abraham looked at the natural army of Rome, but that army was nothing compared to the real enemy. And friends, if that was true back then, it's just as true tonight. We don't have anything to worry. You know, the affairs of this life, big deal. First of all, you're not going to change it. Second of all, you're not supposed to change it. It's prophesied. It's coming to pass just the way it's supposed to. But there's prophecies concerning you and me that won't be stopped either. No matter what the circumstances are in Satan's Eden. So the serpent had ruled over every man throughout the ages since the garden, no matter how righteous they may have been. All men were ruled by the sin nature, and they were imprisoned by this nature, married to it, regardless of whether they were predestinated seed or not. You see, the predestinated seed was in the soul of man, but it couldn't be quickened to life yet, not under an Old Testament covenant and sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. The seed gene was there, just as it is for you and I, but it couldn't be expressed. They had not been bought back. The price hadn't been paid yet. They had not been bought back, and so the life could not cross that barrier and quicken the seed to life and take possession of it until payment was made. So sin nature ruled for thousands of years. And yet at the same time, you could hear cries uttering forth from souls of great men in the Old Testament. That predestinated seed stirring down on the inside in the Spirit of God crying out. The predestinated seeds, they were calling for that quickening life. And they were calling to be set free from the bondage of the sin nature. They were looking forward to the day that you and I are living in, where we wouldn't be bound by a sin nature any longer. Oh, we still deal with this mortal creation, and we still deal with our nature, our temperaments and things like that. We still deal with the fact that we have a spirit instead of a theophany. So we can remember and we can imagine, and we've got conscience and affection and reason, and Satan has access to that. And he has access to our physical realm. And the serpent has eaten dust, cancer and tuberculosis and COVID-19. That's the serpent eating dust. But the soul has been set free. And I'm forever grateful, eternally grateful for that. So the seed gene was there, it just couldn't be expressed under the old covenant. They had not been bought back, the price had not been paid, so the life couldn't cross that barrier and quicken that seed to life and then take possession of it. Sin nature ruled. So David, he longed for that seed to be expressed. And you hear it in the prophecies that are going forth. Moses yearned for it. They were all believing unto receiving something in the future. We look at Jacob, and we know that Jacob was a heel grabber. He was a deceiver by his first nature. So friends, you know, we could just spend a lot of time on that. Just looking at that sin nature, and getting hung up over that sin nature. Jacob would do whatever he had to do to get what he wanted. And the ends justified the means. He had a justification for everything. But there was another nature that was laying dormant down on the inside. And that nature was crying out for life. That nature was desiring that life. Amen. That predestinated seed, it's hidden from human sight. So looking from the outside, you couldn't understand why Jacob was the way that he was. When you look from the outside, you just shake your head. When you look from the outside, you think, man, there's no hope for this guy. You probably wouldn't have liked him. He was scheming all the time. He was somewhat of a contradiction. He would do things that would cause you to just shake your head. I think, my goodness. And he doesn't think that's wrong or bad. And yet at other times, he seemed to be crying out for something that was just the opposite of his greedy and calculating nature. It was a great paradox. You couldn't see why he was always grabbing at something that was just beyond him. Grabbing at a heel. Too late, of course. Wanting that birthright at any cost. So looking at his carnal nature, you could say, there's no way that guy could be elect. There's no way. You know, we look at some people and we say, my, that person would make a great member of the bride. You know, I don't know what causes us to do those kind of things. And yet we look at others and we think, man, that person can't even make hell. But we're looking from the outside, right? To me, one of the greatest things is to see God get a hold of somebody that nobody would stop for and turn them into a preacher, a prayer warrior, elder in the church, or whatever. So down on the inside, there was something that could not be satisfied with the carnal things of life. So it was like there's two different natures. One of them hadn't been quickened yet, but yet it was still laying there. And it was affecting him at times. Just as that seed that was laying down in the inside of you was affecting you before you were born again. He was longing. He was yearning to be in the presence of that angel and to have his nature changed. Think about it, friends. There was no promise of a baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was no promise of a new birth. There was no promise of a nature change. And yet, he wanted that life. He wanted the spiritual birthright. He wasn't looking. His concern was, well, yeah, he did have some carnal desires, but the cry in his heart was not for carnal things. Down in the soul, he wanted that birthright that was after the soul. So he was longing and yearning to be changed. Something on the inside of him longed to be satisfied and wasn't being satisfied with all of these other things. And it's the same thing for every predestinated seed of God. Something down on the inside of you longed for expression and could not be satisfied. And you tried to find satisfaction in this world. No matter what comes your way, nothing can satisfy it though. So you were in the same condition that Jacob was in at one time. And you wondered why you were the way that you were. You hated your temper perhaps, or you couldn't be satisfied while other people were seemingly satisfied. And yet down on the inside, there was something that was thirsting. There was something that was calling out for expression. And you wanted to do right, but you couldn't find a way to do it. From the promised seed that would be manifested in flesh would come that life. The promised seed to the woman would contain the tree of life, would contain that life that man was barred from. But that seed would first have to be placed in an olive press, and it would have to be squeezed on Mount Olives, or the Mount of Olives. It would have to be squeezed out at Calvary in order for that life to come back, to be poured back upon the church. It had to be squeezed out. So the purchase price, it would have to be paid. And it was a stiff price, friends. It had to be paid. And then that life had to come forth that was in that blood cell. The life that was needed to germinate more seeds. The life to germinate is in the male. And we can have the confidence this evening, friends, that that life will germinate. Every single predestinated seed of God that it comes in contact with. And nothing will keep that life from finding that seed. No matter where it's at, no matter what condition it's in, no matter how it's lived, no matter how it was treated, no matter what kind of a temperament it has, no matter what kind of deeds it's done, there's still that seed laying there. Brother Branham speaks of this in Spoken Word's Original Seed. He says, Jesus is the Word of God. And He was bursted open. That life, the life that was inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water, flowing over, the spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed there then. Amen. Do you understand? They said yes, but not sure how much they understood. If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed that it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. Oh, friends, there's such a consolation in that. It's not you trying to make this life come forth. It's not you trying to produce the life of a Christian. And I, myself, tried to produce the life of a Christian for 15 years, or however long it was, 6 to 28. I tried to produce that life. So that's 12 years, right? I tried to produce that life. No, it's 22 years. Public math is dangerous. Good thing I took my shoes off back here. Counted all 11 toes on. Hallelujah. The harder you try, the more impossible it seems, the more discouraged you are. And you get to the place where you just want to give up because you know you can't do it. But what you don't know yet is that you aren't supposed to do it. That it's in you and He's just going to quicken it. Friends, if that fallen nature can so perfectly make you a fallen being, how much more can that other nature make you a son or daughter of God? Praise His wonderful name. Who's stronger, God or the devil? And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed there then. Amen? Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed that it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That clear? Produce the life of the seed. For that's what it was given for. That's what the Holy Ghost was given to you for. The Holy Ghost. Now, friends, please don't take this the wrong way. But the Holy Ghost wasn't given to make you jump. I don't have a problem jumping. I don't have a problem shouting, but that's not what it was given to me for. It wasn't given to me to make me shout, because you can shout and still go to hell. It wasn't given to me to make me speak in tongues. It wasn't given to me to make me run around church. Nothing wrong with any of those things. And the Holy Spirit can cause you to do those things. It wasn't given to me to make me feel good, though it does. It wasn't given to me to give me peace, though it does. It was given to me to bring life to that predestinated seed of God that's down on the inside, and it was to birth you to a son or daughter of God. It's the moisture. You know, it's this monsoon that we're missing. Except you guys are probably getting a little bit of it. I guess we ought to all move out to Brother Jude's house. You know, if you go a little bit east here, you can get a little bit of rain, I guess. It just teases us. I hear it, lightning and thunder and all that, and high and dry. What we needed was that moisture, that quickening moisture, that life-giving power, that quickening power that's needed in order to bring forth eternal life to sons and daughters of God. Period. That seed that's down, you know, that's another thing that's really, really encouraging to stop and think about it. The seed that's down on the inside of you is calling for life. And the reason why life comes is because it's calling for life. It's crying out for life. It's not content. It's got a little, you know, beacon that's going round and round and round, a little klaxon that's sounding off. How you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm pretty good, I guess, sometimes. But there's something down on the inside that's not satisfied. Nothing in this world can satisfy it. It's only satisfied by one thing and one thing only, and it's that life. Hallelujah. And that life will bring that seed to its full expression. So the inheritance of the earth was lost to man. It was lost to Adam. And the title deed of the earth went back into the hands of the original owner, went back into eternity. And the earth was cursed, right? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. He didn't curse Adam, but he cursed the ground for his sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So your body was in this earth when God formed the earth. But God cursed the earth. That explains why our mortal bodies are deficient. Everyone that was born of the earth was born under a curse. The seed that's in you never was cursed, though. Sons and daughters of God were never cursed. That predestinated seed lying down on the inside of you was not cursed. We were born under the curse of sin. But then God came down in a blood cell as that seed that was promised. He wrapped eternal life and that seed of a new race in a blood cell. So small that you couldn't find him with a magnifying glass. But then that blood cell began to multiply. It began to unite with elements of the earth that were cursed. Where did the body come from? Mary ate. She ate elements from the earth. Those elements began to form tissues and bones and blood. They began to unite. And through this, God was reclaiming the portion of the earth that was his, and he was sanctifying it for his purpose. But it was still cursed earth. God became a time being. That's just, you know, don't even try to get a hold of that one. How could the eternal one become a creature of time? But he did. One that was subject to time. One that was subject to death. Subject to headaches. Subject to sorrow. And in that condition, in that state, he paid the penalty for sin as that being. He was wounded at a place where he touched the earth. He was bruised. But in doing so, that enabled him to release the life that bruised the head of the serpent. He released the life that was giving the serpent a mortal wound. A mortal wound in your life. The serpent once controlled your life. Now, once again, we're not talking about the actual snake or that being, but we're talking about that nature. But the giving of this life, it brings a mortal wound to the head of the serpent nature that you were born with and that you were married to. Brother Branham draws a picture. And in this picture that he's drawing is a serpent. He draws a snake inside of a soul. And he says that serpent in the soul must die. That's that sin nature. That animal nature. Or not the nature of an animal serpent, but the nature of sin. That sin nature that is given to you by your first birth. And it's given in a... It's in your body. And your body is wounded. But then that nature has to be wounded and driven out. It once ruled over your body. It once ruled over your life. It once caused you to do things that you didn't want to do. Other things that maybe you did. We all, friends, once walked in the course of the prince of this world. Every one of us. But God, who's rich in mercy, he provided something better than the law of the Old Testament. The life that was in that seed was squeezed out. And the purpose of it being squeezed out was to produce the quickening power to bruise the head of the serpent that had you under his control. And I want to say tonight, it served its purpose. It worked. It's not just something that we imagine. We're living proof tonight, friends. Now recall that Israel was looking for an earthly deliverer to take a physical head off of a physical enemy. And you know, who would argue with them? David did that, right? And David was a type of foreshadowing the son of David that would come. But Jesus came to bring a spiritual kingdom made up of spiritual sons and daughters. You and I, we were born in sin. But it isn't that your body is sin, but the sin nature was in you when you were born. As we've been saying all along, this body's neutral. It can do good, it can do evil. It just depends on what you do with it. This piano is neutral. It can play rock and roll. It can play Nearer My God to Thee. Depends on who's playing it. So your body is not the serpent. So forget about DNA, okay? I've heard that, you know, greatest message that's ever hit the face of the earth, and I'm coming into it, and then I'm hearing people, well, you know... Our kids, they don't go to church with us anymore. Well, they're serpent seed. And I'm thinking, you're a moron. They're serpent seed, so I guess you're a serpent then, right? I mean, the flesh. All flesh is mortal. So it isn't your body that's sin. If your body was sin, then we're without hope. But it's sin nature that was in you when you were born. Your body is not the serpent. And a serpent wasn't bruised in you. No, sin nature reigned in your mortal body. And sin nature is mortally wounded by the quickening power of the new birth. That sin nature that drove you, that you were a slave to, has been mortally wounded. Sin nature ruled over us. Our bodies came from the earth and were cursed with the earth. But notice, God didn't destroy the earth, and he's not going to destroy the earth. Cursed because of time. Cursed because these bodies are subject to death. Cursed because they're weak and they're frail. But also cursed because sin nature dwelling in you used your hands, used your eyes, used your feet, used your mouth, used your emotions. Sin nature took control of all of that. So you could be forgiven for thinking that that was you. But that was sin nature ruling over your body. It had control over you until the serpent bruiser came. Until the one that defeated the devil came into your life. You know, Goliath made a boast one time. He said he was going to take David's head off. And he was going to carry it around on a stick. Remember that? But we noticed that actually the opposite took place. David took Goliath's own sword and cut off the head of Goliath, thereby liberating Israel to drive off the enemies from their land. And it was foreshadowing what was going to come. And then Jesus, he takes death, which is our enemy's stinger, and defeats death with death, crushing his head. He takes the stinger within himself, absorbs that death, takes that death, pays the price for it, and then resurrects. And then he takes the place of headship in our lives. So he took the head of Goliath off in our lives. And then he came to be our head. Glory to God. Jesus came to actually become a partaker of the curse. That just shakes me to the depths of my being to think that God cares enough about you. I mean, who would willingly do something like that? He who is perfect. Who would choose to become a partaker of the curse? He was not born by sexual desire, so he was not born with sin nature. And so he was not ruled over by sin nature. So he was not subject to it. But cursed earth is what comes into Mary to make a body that he dwelled in. He took your curse by taking on a body that was subject to death. And we know it was, friends. If he hadn't died on the cross, he would have eventually died of old age. They said, he doesn't look over 50. He was barely 33. But look at what the pressures of this life did to him. It really aged him. You know, if you doubt that tonight, then riddle me this, Batman. When they cut him, why did he bleed? You know, if he had a body different than yours, a body that wasn't mortal, a body that wasn't made of cursed earth, why did he get a headache? Why did he get so tired he had to go down to the bottom of the boat to sleep? Why did he bleed? How is it that his body could be ripped apart? Because he was every bit mortal.
Sure. Amen. That's true.
Taking the curse upon himself.
Amen.
So he took your curse upon himself by taking on a body that was subject to death. But at the River Jordan one day, after showing that he was under full obedience to the word, he brought himself subject to the Holy Spirit, and heaven and earth were united once again. Heaven and earth were reconciled. Man and God were reconciled in the first one of this new race. And God came and spoke and said, "This is my son that I love. This is my offspring. This is my only begotten. This is my part of the earth. And I am redeeming this part of the earth first. I am tabernacling in this part of the earth. And from this part of the earth, I'm going to buy the rest of the field. Because there's a hidden treasure in the rest of that field. And I'm going to pay the price for it. I'm going to buy the field as well. So you and I can have hope tonight, friends. We can have faith tonight because God demonstrated how he could take cursed earth. Oh, hallelujah. How he could take cursed earth and by the Holy Spirit, bring it subject to the Holy Spirit. Sickness comes in your body because your body is cursed earth. But the Holy Spirit says, get out. Weariness comes, but the Holy Spirit gives you strength. Confusion comes. The Molly grubs come, but then the Holy Spirit gives you peace and joy in the midst of your trials. Now, friends, if you don't have that, seek for it. You know, that's the thing that just, that probably disturbs me more than anything in our spiritual walk, is to see people living mediocre lives. You know, 1 minute praise the Lord, the next minute moan and groan. 1 minute praise the Lord, next minute moan and groan. Hasn't something happened in your life? My worst day since I've been born again. My worst day since I've been converted is better than my best day as a sinner. And that's no exaggeration. It's the truth. There's power. There's life. There is peace. There is joy. Like an ocean. Like a fountain. If we're just like the rest of the world, we got religion instead of Christ. But there's power in this blood. And there's power to take control of this cursed earth and bring it into obedience to the Word of God. Now we might need to unite our faith together now and then as a body, and that's good. That keeps us together. But there's enough power in this room tonight to cure every disease, to cast out every devil. There's no reason for any of us to not have joy tonight. There's no reason for us to not have peace, to be confused. No reason. We hear so much about, well, I can't help it. The devil's making me do this. The devil's making me do that. Nobody can overcome until the body change. That's somebody that's got churchianity. Listen, friends, it's already been demonstrated to us what the Holy Spirit can do through flesh. We've already seen what it did through the first of the God race. The first of the new creation. If it did that in him, it'll do that in every other son or daughter of God. You know, there's unintended consequences to using the sword like that. Some of you are going through battles, and some of you are thinking, oh, you know, he's talking about me. I'm not talking about you. You're trying. You don't want to be that way. You're battling through, and you are going to come to the other side. What I'm talking about is the ones that just accept it. The ones that just think there's nothing more than that. There is. Oh my. It's real peace. Real. He's with you. He's your portion. He's your comforter. If we're not comforted, we need the comforter. But the comforter is not some religion that covers us. It's in the soul. This is not a cover-up. This is an annihilation of an old nature and its life coming in. A man or a woman that's totally surrendered to God is entitled to the token. And that life will quicken that predestinated seed that's down on the inside, and that life will live. Let me say it as loud as I can. That life will live an overcoming life in your flesh. That's not to say that your flesh won't drag its feet. Your flesh is frail. Your flesh gets tired. Your spirit is willing. Your flesh is weak. But what's down on the inside won't settle for second best or mediocre. What's down in you is overcoming. Friends, that's the power of this blood. That's the proof of the resurrection. So the question is not whether the Holy Spirit can rule in more sons and daughters of God or not. That's not the question. The issue is that people aren't willing to die out to that old nature. They aren't willing to die to that sin nature, to allow that sin nature to be mortally wounded so that the Holy Spirit can come in and take full control. Because you can't have two natures at the same time. You can't have two husbands. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. But it'll also live a holy life in your mortal bodies. Now, friends, if we don't even believe in the supernatural, how is it going to quicken our body? How are we going to come up out of the grave? That's totally supernatural. That same Spirit is dwelling in you now. There's supernatural power in you tonight. Power to live right. If we could only see what the first of the new race was trying to show to the rest of the new race. That the same life-giving power that came down at the River Jordan would be the same kind of life in the rest of the new race. You inherit from your birth the ability to control your flesh. You can't say any longer, the devil made me do it. He's not there. How could he make you do it? You've been set free. Now you're back on free moral agency. I'm not saying you won't do some dumb things. I do. But I don't blame the devil for it any longer. I just know I did something dumb. So you aren't controlling this flesh by emotion. You're not controlling it by reason. You're not controlling it by mind over matter or willpower. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So by the new birth, you inherit the ability to make your body obey the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God in you will make your body obey it. Brother Henry, I can't help the fact that I believe the Word. I can't help it. I believe it because I'm a believer. And the theme of this hour is only believe. Oh, but what about this and what about that? And I have this doubt and I have that doubt. I don't. Well, explain to me this. I can't explain everything to you. All I know is that I believe. All I know is that this satisfies. All I know is that I'm not looking for something else. All I know is what it's done in my life already. I should have been dead. I should have quit. I should have walked away. But something changed. Something was quickened in me. And when that took place, I wanted to live. For the first time in my life, I had hope. I wanted to live. I wanted to live right. I wanted to forgive. We can't help but believe this. We can't help but be obedient to it. Why? Because you're a believer. You can't help but believe because you have the faith of your father. Jesus said, have faith in God, but that's not what he said. He said, have the faith of God. Well, that's the only faith there is. It comes from your father. You see, he came to take that unbelief away from you. And now you only believe. Again, in Future Home, he says, think of it. The Holy Ghost descending upon the earth. Jesus and that holy blood. Now watch. I hope I don't go too deep for you, see? The holy blood that was created by God, the blood, the life, the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, you see it? God made in creation. He was spirit. The Bible said he is the beginning of the creation of God. How did he begin? In the womb of a woman, which is what? So think of it, friends. God crept in, seemingly, into Satan's garden, wrapped in a little cell, and the devil didn't see him coming. Oh, he was looking for him. He knew what was prophesied. He knew this seed was prophesied to come. He looked for him in Moses. He looked for him in Joseph. He looked for him in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, on and on and on. But he saw each one of those men had flaws. So he proved that each one of these weren't that seed, but he kept looking. He couldn't find any fault in Jesus, but he figured he was too humble to be that one. Again, in proving his word, he says, now we find that God came into this little cell, see? And he began to develop cells. And he drew from his mother's vitamins and things. Then he became old enough to eat himself. This is hard for us to imagine. You know, we like to picture him coming in halo over his head. And, you know, he's just so mature. And he's laying there, you know. If I'm hungry, I'll let you know. If I got to use the restroom, I'll let you know. Well, they might do that. My two-year-old grandson, we're out in the backyard, they're getting ready to go take a little trip, so we were out playing with him in the backyard. And I see him, he's got a hold of this ladder, and he's got his head down, and, you know, it just doesn't look right. He's not moving. So I look over at my wife and I said, I wonder what he's doing. He looks over and he says, I, you know, did the number two. Grandma looks over and says, okay, come here, we'll change your diaper. No. Well, he told us, kids are kids. How many believe that Jesus cried? Brother Branham said that's God's, your God-given way to tell your mother what you have need of, right? The difference was he wasn't a brat. If he cried, he had a legitimate need. But he was helpless. God entrusted himself into the hands of sinful men. Then he become old enough to eat himself. He began to eat. And what is that? It's the dust of the earth, which you come up and plant life and animal life and so forth. And as he began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, it began to develop cells. And when it's fully matured at 30 years old, he was baptized in obedience to John down here, or to God, in the water, and went out. And what happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. What did he do? What did he come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Because God is not a creation. Only in Christ, he is a creation. Because God is eternal and spirit. And spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God. God redeemed that body. See, when he come down, this is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him. So he, God, came down after going through this. And now every son that you eat and born of a natural sexual birth, the way you come, then when it comes to a place where you go through water baptism, then the Holy Ghost baptism, then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims this creation the same as it did him. The Holy Ghost and God is the same spirit. See, it comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. Glory to God. And he was raised for our justification. All that the Father has given me will come. Not one will be lost. I'll raise it up at the last day. Not one hair of the head will even perish. That is the beginning of the creation of God. This is the continuation of the creation of God. So every son and daughter of God is a potential son or daughter of God until that Holy Spirit comes down and quickens that seed, and then you come to the recognition that you always were a son or daughter of God. But that revelation doesn't strike you until the new birth. It's sure, we accept the words. Sure, every church does. Every Christian church does. But accepting the word and the revelation is not the same thing. Mentally accepting that is not the new birth. The new birth is the revelation to you that it's the truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. It's then that you begin to recognize why you didn't fit in. I had such a complex over that because I tried to fit in. I tried to belong to this. I tried to belong to that. I was like a chameleon. I didn't feel like I was a hypocrite. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, you got to do that. Okay, I'll do that. Then I'm thinking, but that don't seem right to me. I don't know why you're doing this, and I don't know why you're doing that. It doesn't seem natural. I'm trying to fit in, but you know what? I'm just not an athlete. I'm not a basketball player. I'm not a football player. I'm not a hockey player. I'm pretty good at carrying water. I'm not this, I'm not that, right? And nothing wrong with any of those things. If you're born with athletic ability, so what? It's neither good nor bad. It's not, that's not our point. But even, so let's take that thought for a moment. Let's say you had athletic ability. That still doesn't mean that you felt like you fit in. Right? But you begin to recognize why you didn't fit in. You know what? All those years that I felt so bad that I didn't fit in, I've rejoiced for a whole lot more years that I didn't fit in. Amen. This guy and I were at a concert together in Southern California. It was called World Rock Music Festival. I think it was, I maybe been to two concerts when I was a kid, and really wasn't my thing, but it was, my sister was going and going to see if I fit in, So it was at USC, the stadium there?
Coliseum.
LA Coliseum, that's right. And they had all the, it was like a little more modern Woodstock, I guess, It had all these rock bands that were supposed to be there for 2 days, I think I was 19 at the time, and so that means you were 18, and we were both there along with how many ten thousands of other people? Stadium was filled, you know, for a couple of days. But I mean, what are the odds of that, you know? I had longish hair, and I think you had an afro, and right? Yeah. If we would have met each other, we probably wouldn't have had much in common, right? I was trying to figure out who I was. You probably were too, right? I mean, we try this and we try that, and surf's up, dude. Till you get your nose planted in the bottom of the ocean and the undertow takes you down and you almost die, and then it's like, well, maybe I'm not a surfer either. But I'm glad that I didn't fit in, because maybe I never would have left whatever it was that I fit in. But I didn't fit in. And I wasn't satisfied by the world of churchianity or by the world. You begin to recognize what your true purpose is. And you see that your course is already set. You just didn't know it. I did always believe that there was one right thing that I should be doing, but I also knew that I didn't know what it was. I knew that there was all these options, but what's the one thing that I should be doing? Well, now I'm doing it. So as he came to redeem that first part of the earth, you realize that he's claiming another part of the earth through you. Each and every son and daughter of God that he claims and fills with his spirit, he's claiming them, and he's claiming a portion of the earth. They were to take dominion, they will take dominion. God has to redeem man before he redeems the earth. The earth will be redeemed, animal kingdom will be, everything will come back into its rightful position, but not until man comes to his rightful position. And he's doing that work. Somebody say praise the Lord. We'll pull over here in just a minute. So you begin to recognize what your purpose is. You are his beloved son or daughter of God that he's pleased to dwell in also in this last day. And when that sin nature is mortally wounded and it no longer reigns in your mortal body, then the holy nature takes its abode and begins to rule and reign in you. And so much of it is unconscious. Whereas, you know, before you were born again, you tried to conform to church. Just like you tried to conform to the world. You tried to be a Nazarene, or you tried to be a Catholic, or you tried to be a Baptist, or a Returned ministry, or whatever. You tried. But it was all manufactured. And it didn't set right. And you didn't fit in. Once again, somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If I could have been a good Catholic, I'd still be a Catholic, wouldn't I? But I didn't fit there. They actually never tried. That's one church that gave me the spooks. It's spooky. Good reason. It's the highest form of spiritualism that there is. They worship every kind of devil that there is. Sincere people not knowing what they're doing. Well, pray to Saint Christopher that he'll get you out of this. How'd that work for him? He's dead, isn't he? I didn't hear about him resurrecting. Oh my. But as long as we're going around, friends, and this is why we hit on this time and time again, and we will until the body change. As long as we go around saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, we will never come to the place that the Lord God omnipotent is reigning and overcoming in these mortal bodies. Because you're not a sinner. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're no longer a sinner. A sinner is an unbeliever. You're not an unbeliever. So when we're going through the process of our births, we first come to Luther's revelation that we are sinners that have been saved by His grace. But then that grace moves us into Wesley's revelation and gives us a new spirit and sanctifies us from the stain of sin and washes us by the water of the Word, cleanses us by the life that was in that blood. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit baptizes you, and the waters of life quickens that seed, and you become a new creation. And if you're a new creation, you can never be an old creation ever again. It's done. You're just waiting for the rest of you to catch up. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You are no longer a sinner because sin nature has been mortally wounded. If you're a sinner, you need a birth. You are now a believer, not a sinner. You can't be a believer and a sinner. You're either a believer or you're a sinner. So now we are sons and daughters of God. And now we have the power within us to overcome in this most deceitful and wicked hour. And we are divorced from sin. You're no longer a prisoner to sin nature. That nature has been bruised, and that headship has been crushed. You're a new creature, and you are now following another head. Amen. Let's stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, it's powerful just to... We have to come to that recognition. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You might have to hear it a few times. No doubt, most of us have heard it and believe it and are walking in it. And that's why we're here. Come what may. No matter what happens, we've got a peace that passes all understanding. We've found that pearl of great price, and we're not looking for something else. We're not troubled by what we believe. We're not wondering if we fit in. We're not wondering if this actually applies to us or not. We finally found where we fit in. And I don't mean this church, but you ought to be able to find a church body where you fit too. But it's the mystical body. We found our place, and it's part of a mystical body. The mystical body of Christ. You know, that's one of the things that... I mean, if I was wondering about the supernatural, this alone would be a tremendous amount of evidence. You get around people that you don't know. They come from a different culture, a different background. Maybe they speak a different language. They have different customs. They eat different kind of food. They smell different. They look different. They act different. And yet you spend a few minutes with them, and you find out, you know what, I got more in common with you than I do with my own flesh and blood. And you begin to talk about things, and you know that that other person believes what they're saying, and you know that they see it the same way you see it, because it's been revealed to you just like it's been revealed to them. That's supernatural. If political parties could make that happen, they wouldn't fight so hard. They're trying to mechanically brainwash people and tell them, well, you fit here or you fit there, or we'll look out for you or whatever. But friends, we fit here. We fit in this mystical body. Amen. And this message rings so true. It's the only thing in my entire life that's made this book come alive for me. Without this message, I wouldn't know who the true Jesus is. And it wasn't from a lack of trying. I went to different churches. Perhaps you did too. And every one of them left me with doubt. I believed that there had to be a Jesus of the Bible, but what I saw was different flavors of Jesus that Paul said. He said, if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than what I preached, might well bear with that person. There's one Jesus of the Bible, and this message has introduced us to the true Word, to the true Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced. Aren't you? So that would be one thing. But just what he's done in my own life, and you can say the same thing tonight. What he's done in my own life, he's kept me for 32 years now. He's kept me. And he's going to keep me. And I have hope. And I have peace. And I have joy. And I have friends. I found where I belong. I fit. I am so grateful that that sin nature has been dealt with. I'm no longer a slave. He came to set the captive free. And I can say tonight, who the Son has set free is free indeed, and I'm one of them tonight. How many can say that? Hallelujah. Are you what you want to be? No. Are you what you used to be? No. Stick around. Amen. You'll see the fullness one of these days. When this body is changed, when this corruption takes on incorruption. Meanwhile, we'll press on. We'll bite that devil every chance we get. If our teeth fall out, we'll gum them. But we won't give up. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you tonight, Father, I'm so thankful that that sin nature, I've been divorced from it. It no longer rules over me. It's not because I'm better than somebody else. It's not because I'm worse than somebody else. It's because of you. It's because of the price that you paid, the work that you did. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight to be walking in that. What a shame it would be to have you offer that and then let it go unanswered, go unclaimed. But you're not going to force it on anyone. We might drag our feet for a season. We know that your prophet said he would have given his heart to you sooner if there hadn't been a spirit hanging over him saying, not yet, not yet. But Lord, we know that if we're sons and daughters of God, we're going to come. But we're all going to make that choice. It's not going to be because we were forced into it or shamed into it or scared into it. Or you won't force us yourself, Lord. You want us to choose. But Lord, if we came from you, that's the choice that we will make. What other choice would we make if we're believers, if we're sons and daughters of God? Father, I just pray that this would be real to everyone that's listening tonight, Lord. Everyone that might listen in. Father, we don't know. Every one of us is at a different stage in our walk. Maybe if we're just starting out, we need to hear these things. And we need that quickening power in our lives. Maybe we've been going down the road for some time now. We need to be reminded of these things. That devil just beat us and beat us and beat us, try to confuse us, try to reason with us, try to point us back to what we once were, cause us to focus on what was done instead of what you're doing. Lord, this is, it's encouraging, and it's something we never want to forget. We don't want to, Lord, as Peter brought out in his epistle, he said, some forget what manner of a man that they once were, and then they walk on into this and that and the other. So we know that there's a balance in this. I can never forget where you took me from, and I don't want to forget that, but I don't want to dwell on it either. I don't want to focus on it. I don't want to attach myself to that, but I also don't want to forget what you took me from. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move on every heart. Father, that you'd just be so real to each and every one. Father, as we surrender to you, as we worship you, as we give you thanks and honor and glory, we love you, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that if there's any that are not quickened, that they be quickened, Lord. I pray that if there's some that want a refilling, that they'll be refilled. Lord, we just thank you for your encouragement and your strength. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, no, I am a child. Stand.